prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the issues we'll be discussing today, Tuesday, June 4th, 2013. I shouldn't call him an issue, although sometimes he could be an issue. We're going to be talking about Robert Chapman today. We're going to remember him today. We're going to reminisce about Bob, and we have a very special guest on today's program, Jennifer Galati, Robert Chapman's daughter, now the editor of the International Forecaster. So we're looking forward to the upcoming program with Jennifer and with Al. But first, let's do a quick take on the gold and silver markets today. Gold today. Let me get my numbers here today. We had gold down $12.60 today at $1,399. Silver was down 20 cents today at $22.64. Platinum is down 4 at $14.99, along with palladium down 6 at $756. The USDX today is trading a little bit higher, 0.13 to the upside, 82.78, with crude oil trading just a few cents higher, 93.52. And the markets had some big swings today. They were down triple digit, I believe, earlier in the day. And they did crawl back a little bit, down 76 points today at 15,177. The NASDAQ down 20 at 34.45, along with the S&P down 10 at 16.31. The 10-year yield's pretty much unchanged from yesterday at 2.14. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And good afternoon, Al, first.
Hi, Melody. It's going to be another interesting day. Gold is bouncing around 1400. Oh, the dollar's up a little bit, and the other markets are down a little bit, and what can we say? I don't know. Another day, follow it, and put in your time and wait for the inevitable.
Well, the prices on, the premiums on a lot of the coins are certainly coming down. We do have 1/10 ounce gold eagles, the coins. They're available at good prices. Silver eagles also on those, and but let's get started on today's program. I'm real anxious and happy to have Jennifer Galati on the program, Al.
Okay.
And I guess she's the new editor of the International Forecaster, taking the place of her father, Robert Chapman, which he's been a guest on this program for, it's been about 9 years. He was on this program 3 times a week. And he always used to say, Melody, when people would comment on my programs, they always enjoyed our program the best. Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Melody and Al. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Jennifer? I'm Al.
Nice to talk to you.
Yep.
I'm doing pretty good. Today's the 1 year anniversary of my dad's passing, so it's been an emotional day for my mom and I. But it's been a great day. We've gotten some great emails from subscribers offering their thoughts and wishes, and we went down to the cemetery today, and there were some flowers, and some people have come by and left things like candy bars. It's been interesting.
Yeah, I bet it has.
Candy bars?
Yeah, somebody left a candy bar. A Snickers bar. I don't know why. Maybe my dad at some point on the radio said something about a candy bar, but they felt the urge to leave him a candy bar. So I thought that was great, you know.
I think it's wonderful. Well, you know, you certainly had, Bob had so many, I think over the year, the comments that I've heard from listeners is, you know, I can't believe he called me. We would talk so often, and he was a friend. And we always respected his insight in, you know, matters, not only in just finances, but in so many different areas. And he was a great storyteller. You know, he could relay the information. And it was always a pleasure to, everyone always looked forward to hear Bob, Uncle Bob.
Yeah, my dad, yeah. Even to this day, when the phone rings during dinner, I always think it's him calling because he always had this knack for calling me during dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he always called at the wrong time. Yes, Al.
Have you learned anything about your dad in the last year as editor of the International Forecaster that you didn't know?
Oh.
Learned something? I mean, has he taught you something? Have greater respect for him? Do you understand some of the work he was doing? Or you've kind of filled his shoes. And I'm wondering.
I have learned a lot, yes. It's, I look back as I have gotten older, because I'm almost 40. And I used to say to myself time and again, oh, wow, I remember my dad talking about that. Or, look at this is happening. My dad used to mention these things. And, wow, I can't believe it's actually happening. And now that I'm more in tune with his newsletter and I do it and I read everything and help select the articles that go into it, it just amazes me how perfect his predictions were and how, I don't know how he was able to put all the pieces together, but how he just saw what was going to happen and how it all just falls into place. And I know he's sitting there watching, just, I think, probably wishing he was here. But I think I'm doing a pretty good job getting the news out to everybody. So,
well, that's good. What do you think the news is that would be most interesting to your father at this point? Do you have an opinion on that? I mean, if he was here today, what would he say is hot?
Well, the price of gold, obviously, and how they hold it back. Yet millions of people are buying it and world banks are buying it, but yet they try to suppress it here. I know you wrote about it last week, and James Corbett actually did a piece for tomorrow's issue about how Japan is buying a ton of it. And the other thing I would say he'd probably be most interested in is the turmoil in Europe, the rioting in Sweden and Spain and just the chaos that's there, because usually what happens there follows and happens here. And just letting people know to be prepared for, you know, problems, civil problems here.
Let's talk a little bit about Japan. If Japan is buying, did Jim Corbett give you an indication of whether it's the ordinary people that are buying primarily, or is it Japanese institutions, perhaps the Japanese Central Bank? Who is doing the buying in Japan right now?
He said all. It is everyday people, as mm-hmm. well as banks and companies and central banks.
Okay. So, and that, of course, is caused by the inflation mm-hmm. that the Japanese Central Bank has said, we're going to do it. We're going to cause a minimum of 2% inflation per year, and I think they'll probably cause more than that. But they have inspired the Japanese people and Japanese institutions to get out of the yen and get into something they can believe in, which is apparently gold.
The one thing that holds value.
Did Jim mention whether the Japanese, or do you know, are the Japanese moving out of the yen and into the dollar to any degree? Do they find the dollar to be a safe haven, or are they primarily just looking at gold as a safe haven?
No, they're going towards gold.
Yeah, that's what
I expect. Everybody's moving out of the dollar.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, with our debt going the way it is and the mess we have going with our government, I don't see why any other country would want to invest in our dollar.
We saw an article just today in the newspaper about the government is allowing China to buy more American properties, companies, and so on. And the implication is China is at least has an opportunity to dump some of its dollars by buying American property, businesses and land or whatever. It means there's a way out for people that have dollars. It might be that encourages people to take more dollars. But do you think the world will take more? Do you think that's enough for our people? Are they sliding away from dollars in a way that's not likely to be recovered?
I think they're definitely sliding away from the dollar.
The big question in all of this, I mean, everyone can see the destination on this. Anyone who sits and looks at the information and sees what's happening, we all understand pretty much what the destination's going to be, and it won't be fun.
No.
But the big question is, when are we going to get to that destination? You know,
stop screwing around with everything. I think our governments are trying to postpone the inevitable.
Oh, yeah.
Till they can have it in the exact scenario they want it in. And they can control the majority of the people. I think that's why they've pushed so many people into government assistance. If they can have a majority of America relying on government and our economy completely collapses, our people are going to turn to the government because that's all they have to look at.
Yep,
and the government will say, here, I've supported you for the past 10 years. I've given you everything. I'm the reason why you have what you have, so you're going to do what I say. And that's what millions of Americans have messed up on. They need to separate themselves. They need to learn to do without and survive on their own and not ask for the government's help and not be dependent on them so that they can't turn around and expect us to do what they want.
Well, the magic word is dependence.
Yeah.
And insofar as people have become, they take it for granted that they can receive assistance from the government, you start out and you think, hey, this is pretty cool. I get an extra $1,000 or $500 a month or whatever it is, and this is pretty cool. But after a while, you become dependent on that extra $500 or $1,000 a month. And eventually, you reach a point, if you are sufficiently dependent on government assistance, you reach a point where you're no longer able to easily think for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost the ability to be independent. You've lost the ability to support yourself. And in a worst-case scenario, who's going to support you other than the government?
Yep.
And that means you better get prepared to take orders. If you are dependent on government, you're going to have to take orders from government. So what should people do to minimize their dependence on government? Should they turn their nose up on free money being handed out by the government?
I would.
I understand that. But just the same.
I think most people should. They should learn to do without. They should get out there and try to work on their own. And even if it means they're going to get $300 less a month if they go out to a job and they're going to have to find daycare for their kids, it's going to be tougher emotionally, financially. But that's what we need to go back to. I mean, when my dad was younger, people worked with a pride. And they wanted to work, and they wanted to do their best, and they wanted to succeed and get to the top of that ladder. Nowadays, most people my age want to get a job making the most amount of money doing the littlest work. And that is sad. We need to get that pride back into doing what's right for yourself and your family. It's back to the basics.
But you grew up in a...
Yeah, but you know what's so difficult? What's difficult is their agenda has eliminated the ability for people to go out and to look for these jobs so that they can provide for their families. And I do believe that the numbers, that once people do get on these disability programs, they never come off. And you also have to look at how it transformed not only these people, but also their children. I mean, if they have children, they lose their lack of ambition, their self-worth. And again, I believe it's all part of the condition. That's how they're trying to condition the people. And you're right, to put them into that place so that they can't say no, no more. And it's where do they get the help? I mean, which comes first? Or that's the difficult point, I think.
You know, we see
it's
a world.
It's making that step.
We live in a world where people used to rely on their neighbors, and you used to get charity, for example, out of the churches. And it used to be that your local community would provide some sort of support for people that were poor or destitute. But the government's taken that over. All right? And it's part of the reason who do we turn to in your local community? You better have friends, you better have family, you better have someone you can rely on, some group of people that you can rely on them and they can rely on you. It'll be one of the most important...
Good network.
It'll be one of the most important assets that you can have in the event of a worst-case scenario. You can't do it alone. You're going to have friends you can stand with, and they're going to have to rely on you. You're going to have to rely on them, and, it's the way the world appears to be headed. It seems to be that's likely for the future. We talked, you talked in the first part of the program, you'd mentioned Japan, we talked a little about that, and we also talked, or you brought up the subject of Europe and how it reflected some of your father's predictions. And I think what we'll do is take a break here in a moment, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what your dad had to say about Europe, what you see is happening in Europe, any of the articles in International Forecaster that you think are touching on that idea, what we should watch for, and how that may lay the foundation for a prediction of what may be coming here in the United States. I'm Alfred Adisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom and our guest, Jennifer Galati. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom and our guest, Jennifer Gilotti, Bob Chapman's daughter. And this program is Financial Survival, of course, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Melody, do we have a special for people today? Melody? Do you have your mute button on again, Melody?
No, I was typing it.
We do have
a special today.
Do you remember that Gerald Ford thing? He couldn't chew gum and talk at the same time. Talk at the same time.
We do have a special.
Okay,
today.
We do have a special. Good.
And this was Bob Chapman's favorite coin. It was a Mint State 64 $20 gold piece. He always favored that. He would always tell the story of when he bought it way back. Oh, it was his first coin, I believe, that he purchased, if I remember correctly. So we're going to have a Mint State 64 $20 St. Gaudens gold piece, and it's going to include the International Forecaster, a one-year subscription or renewal. So for those of you who already have a subscription to the International Forecaster, of those who have yet to subscribe, you can get a free issue or renewal. This also includes all your shipping costs, and you're saving $60 off the regular price to boot for $1,915. So you can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. $1,915 for a Mint State 64 $20 gold piece. The subscription to the International Forecaster includes shipping, so give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver.
Okay. We were talking, we touched just briefly on the idea of problems in Europe and the idea that what we see in Europe might be grounds for predicting what we will see later here in the United States. And Jennifer, did you want to expand on that idea a little bit, or did you have something else you wanted to say about Europe?
It has a lot to do with the anti-austerity protests that are going on. I'm sure everybody's, you know, seen what's going on in Greece and Cyprus and all that, but it hasn't gone away. And there's an article in tomorrow's issue that is same thing, Spain, Germany, Portugal, you know, more protesters. People are upset. You know, Europe is primarily socialist, and that's what they're trying to push us to here in the States. And, you know, once you get them to a certain point and you go over that edge, which I think Europe has, it's really upset the people. And a lot of them are finally standing up and saying enough is enough, you know, stop letting the immigrants in and taking, you know, what few jobs we have, you know, cutting necessary jobs and taking our money and bailing out other countries that can't figure it out on their own. So I think my dad always talked about, you know, that eventually happening here. And as mm-hmm. you see what's going on with our economy and our government and what we talked about before with, you know, needing to rely on the government, they're pushing us towards that socialist atmosphere. And once they get us to that point, you know, there's going to be a handful or a very large handful of people like us who are going to protest it. And, you know, it depends on how many people we can get in contact with and how many people we can let know that they need to disagree with that action.
I saw a couple of articles a couple of weeks ago in major newspapers. I think it was the Washington Times for one of them, or it may have been the New York Times, I don't recall, but two articles from two different major mainstream publications. And one of them pointed out that about 30% of the people in this country, when asked, they said they were more afraid of the government than they were of terrorists. And at the same time, another survey indicated that 30% or thereabouts just have no trust whatsoever in the government. And the reason that's significant to me is I've been at this in a public sense for about 23 years right now. Started publishing a magazine that was critical of the legal system. We didn't focus on economics per se, but we focused on the legal system. And back then, we were the lunatic fringe. But today, we are part of 30% of the American people who are at least sympathetic to the ideas that we're talking about on this program. 30%. We've gone from a time when I would guess maybe 5% mm-hmm. back in 1990 or thereabouts were seriously critical of government. We've gone to a point where now 30% are pretty critical of government and more, you know, are at least ambivalent. They don't necessarily trust it. They don't mind taking the money, but they still don't trust it. So the numbers are growing in our favor, in favor of the dissidents. The numbers appear to be growing. That's good. And it's even seen, we've seen some evidence where Obama has said he's going to back off on the war on terror. And he's also going to back off on using drones. I think this is evidence that they are seeing so much growing resistance against government that perhaps they're going to try to play nice for a little while. Now, do you think that's a reasonable possibility, or do you think that the government is just going to continue to try to slap people around as best they can?
Oh, no, I don't think they'll stop. I think they will continue on the path that they're going on. They will just try better to hide their tracks.
I agree with you. I think that's
probably
the case.
I hate to say it, but I don't foresee them changing because it's not just our government.
Yeah.
My dad talked about world government, and that's what it ultimately comes down to.
Yep.
You know, they have a plan to get the world in a certain situation, and, you know, it's not just Obama. It's a mad group of people that, you know, countries that are getting together and trying to set the our future, everybody's future. And one person's not going to say, you know, okay, well, I'm just not going to do those things anymore. It really isn't his decision, even if he wanted it to be. So I don't think
I agree with you. It's just politic. It's politics more so than anything else, and maybe cosmetics, but just the same. To see any sort of what may be a concession, well, it's encouraging. It doesn't mean that the battle's over. Doesn't mean that anyone can relax. But it is evidence that we're making a difference. Publications like the International Forecaster and American Survival, Melody's publication, they're having an impact. We're grinding away at them, and who knows where it's going to wind up. You were talking about the people who were protesting in Europe over the austerity. Mm-hmm. Now, austerity essentially means, why don't you people have a depression? We're going to cut out your funding and your jobs and your income, and we're going to put you into a, and for the sake of the state, we're going to put you into a depression. We'll call it austerity, but it'll be an economic depression for you. And of course, the people are rioting about that. They don't want to be in the depression. But Germany, just in the last week, has announced that it has abandoned its previous insistence on austerity programs. And it's now going to try, instead of relying on austerity and cutting costs, it's apparently going to embrace inflation and try and stimulation, economic stimulation. What do you suppose that means for the price of gold? I mean, it's an obvious question, but what do you suppose that means for the price of gold?
Well, it should go up.
Yeah, I know it should.
It should.
Just like if you fill a, beach ball, you got a beach ball full of helium, and you hold it underwater, it should go up. But again, we know that sometimes there's people who can hold it underwater for quite a while. So the other thing we talked a little bit about, you mentioned a little bit about jobs. People want jobs, and one of the things, one of the reasons that's interesting is because our government is responsible for shipping at least a significant portion of our industries and jobs overseas.
Yep.
And now here we are.
The general public never hears about it. All they hear about is how, you know, we're going back to Made in USA and, you know, back here, bring everything back home. But we're still shipping it all out there. I know, I don't know if you read James's article last week, was on the trade agreement.
Oh, with
and
the Pacific?
That includes the, what do you call it, the TPP. That includes shipping more jobs overseas.
Yeah, I understand. It has to. They're going to open this market up to foreign competition, which means people in foreign countries, third world countries on the Pacific, will have greater access to American markets. They'll have a greater opportunity to use their very cheap labor to sell into this economy, which inevitably means that American laborers will be put out of work until they agree to take wages that begin to resemble those of third world countries.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. It's treasonous. It's wrong. It's detrimental to the best interests of virtually all of the American people, and yet government insists on doing it. The same thing we see with Europe, an influx of aliens coming in, immigrants coming into Europe, some legal, some illegal. They're going to change that culture. They're going to divide and conquer what were previously intact nations and groups of people who were willing to fight on their own for particular ideas. By bringing those immigrants in, by bringing alternative cultures in, they're going to hollow out Europe where there is no consistent culture anymore. It will become unable and ineffective at resisting the New World Order. And the same thing is happening in this country. We have illegal aliens coming in here to set up, not to be assimilated per se, but frequently just to set up, maintain their own culture in this country. It's a divide and conquer strategy.
What we were talking about earlier, where
Pardon me?
Have that community, when we were talking about earlier, where you have that community and you need to stick together to be able to make it through, you bring in more immigrants and more different people, all that does is break up your communities.
Yeah. And you know what else it does? It causes people to be angry at the immigrants.
Yes.
More so than angry at the government. You dissipate your energy fighting with the people in your neighborhood, in your city, in your state. You're more concerned with them than you are with the people who let them in the first place.
Well, yeah, because those neighbors are right next door to you. You don't see your government.
Absolutely. So it works from the government's perspective. I don't doubt that they think in these terms. I'm not sure how effective it's going to be. But people, if you've got a problem, you can see the problem next door. You don't worry so much about who caused the problem. You see the problem. See the manifestation. Mm-hmm. That's where you focus your activity. And it's wrong. You've got to look for the cause. And the cause is back there in Washington or perhaps even Brussels. Do you have any opinion on where the New World Order is? What's its timetable? Is it succeeding right now? Is it making progress, or is it struggling? Has it lost momentum and begun to struggle just to survive? Do you have an opinion on that?
I'm not sure about that. I have to get back to you on that one.
All right. Well, it's one of those things. I doubt if anybody's sure about it. It's one, you know, it's even the people in the New World Order, they have to wonder, are we winning right now or are we in big trouble? It's like any war, the fog of war. No one knows for sure what's going on.
The difference about the New World Order is they don't have to win their war this year or next year. They've been playing this battle for a very long time. Their agenda is planned out. And everything that they need to complete their agenda is really in place. Yeah, there's going to be little bumps and you know, things that surprise them down the road. But we go back to, you can call it politics, but we also go back, it's a spiritual war. So until we bring back certain things, it's going to play out. The day of reckoning is coming, and they're getting closer and closer to their goals.
Well, I follow. I'm curious, Jennifer, what did your dad think about the New World Order? And what I mean by that is, did he think they would inevitably win? Did he think they'd inevitably lose? Or did he think, you can't tell for sure, we don't know yet? And if so, was there something he thought the people needed to do that might be able to protect us from the new world?
He got on the radio, and why he did his new newsletter is to try and prevent it from happening. The more people that know about it and are educated about it, the less likely they would succeed.
Then he was optimistic that they can be stopped.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
He thought the more people,
there's no point to fighting them if you can't win.
Yes. He thought that people should get together and make bands and, you know, go against, you know, what the mainstream tells us to do. And that's what he always, you know, talked about and tried to get people to understand by comparing, you know, stories with history and, you know, why everything happens. And that's why he had such a, you know, large following, because people could understand and they could put the puzzle together after listening to him. And if we get enough people together to understand and be willing to stand up to the other people, then we can succeed.
Well, you know, there's another part of it. We've touched on this program a time or two in the past. It's not enough just to get other people to agree with you.
Correct.
You have to get those people to where they are aware that although they agree with what you're saying, they are not alone. You've got to get, people have to be confident that if they stand up in a room full of strangers and they say some of the ideas that we're talking about on this program, if they're daring enough and bold enough to stand up and make those statements in public, they want to believe, they need to believe that there's other people there who will stand up and say, yeah, I think that person's right, I think that man, that woman, I think they're right.
Yes.
It's unfortunate, but too many people of our mindset think we're all alone. We don't understand that there's a mass of people, probably a third of the population, is sympathetic to virtually everything we're saying right now. And if you stand up in public, they also will quite possibly stand up and say, yeah, yeah, here's a round of applause. I think that person's telling the truth. But they need to know that they're not alone. And that could be 100 million of them in this country right now. But if they think, each one of them thinks he's alone, they won't stand up. They have to be made aware that they share a certain opinion, a certain knowledge. Oh, our time. I'm walking into the break. We've got to break and take some commercial announcements, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ralph Adatis with Melody Cedarstrom and Jennifer Gilotti. We'll be back in just a moment to Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or a risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Jennifer Gilotti, the daughter of Bob Chapman, who was on this program nine years. And I had the opportunity to interview Bob a couple of times. I sat in when Melody had other things to do. So I talked to your dad, if I had to guess, maybe a dozen times in the 18 months or so before, 12, 18 months, something like that, before he passed on. And I always enjoyed talking to your dad. He was funny. He was gruff. And he did exactly what he wanted to do on the program. You know,
yes,
he wasn't the least bit intimidated. He just, I can remember one time where I was doing a program with your dad. And he was trying to eat an apple while we were doing the program. And I'm asking a question, and I can hear your dad, and he's
chomping away,
biting gently into the apple. Just a little crunch, a little crunch, and another little crunch. I suppose he was hoping it wouldn't be heard, but it went out all across. It went to everybody who was listening to the program. Everyone could hear your dad was eating an apple. And it's just one of those things. I laugh about it now. I couldn't laugh about it then. It absolutely makes me laugh. And there were other moments like that. And I enjoyed talking to your father, and I thought it was, I didn't just enjoy it, I thought it was a great opportunity. It gave me a chance to learn things. And I enjoyed every time I had an opportunity to sit in and talk to your dad on the program. I absolutely enjoyed those opportunities. Always looked forward to them. And like I say, maybe a dozen times. I got an article here from, what is it, Raw Story. It was originally by Agence France-Presse. It's a French article originally. Federal Reserve studying the effect of PayPal and Bitcoin on banking. United States is studying the potential risk from online payment mechanisms like PayPal and Bitcoin, a top U.S. Federal Reserve official said. Some bankers have expressed worries that the newer players in the online marketplace could have negative implications for the financial system. What do you suppose the potential risk is that's inherent in online payment systems like PayPal and Bitcoin? What do you suppose the bankers are worried about, and what might the negative implications for the financial system be? Anybody got any ideas here?
Well, money laundering.
Oh, it isn't just that.
No, but it's
money laundering. That's to me.
Actually, they had just shut down one of those online digital currency services. It was Liberty Reserve, and it was actually the oldest, and it was actually the safest of all the, and it was the most popular payment processor. And they got shut down. I guess it was just last month. For money laundering. Of course, they use money laundering for any time they want to go into any business as their excuse to go in there and shut you down. They'll always put it under money laundering. When you start tinkering with their money and their ability to do processing, look out.
Their ability to get their cut.
Yes.
All right, that's what they're talking about. The potential risk from online payment mechanisms like PayPal and Bitcoin. The risk is that the Federal Reserve and the central banks are going to be cut out of the loop, and they're not going to, and maybe the government won't be able to impose as much tax as it would like to. These are the negative implications that the bankers are worried about, is they won't make as much money. Do you think they can resist?
You also have to think about the fact that bitcoins are not money. So if everybody starts using things like bitcoins, there is no need for a dollar bill. There is no need for a yen. So
well,
all those trading of currencies are not needed.
Yeah, the same thing. It parallels Bitcoin and PayPal. To some degree, parallel Saddam Hussein in Iraq back around 2001 when he started trading Iraqi oil for euros rather than dollars. And he thereby posed a mortal threat to the dollar, which at the time, was dependent on its relationship to petroleum products. It was the only currency you could use to buy petroleum products on the international market. And as a result, everyone who needed crude oil had to first have dollars, created demand for dollar, made the dollar valuable, even though it was intrinsically worthless. We didn't like the competition that Saddam Hussein was presenting by selling Iraqi oil for paper for euros instead of dollars. We invaded and shut him down. To some degree, Bitcoin is similar. To some degree, even PayPal, although it works in terms of dollars, some similarities. They are threatening the fundamental racket that runs this world, and that is money.
Yep.
You know, over the years, I used to publish a magazine, as I mentioned, and one of the things we dealt with was the monetary system. And a lot of people were dissidents, and they were activists, and they would challenge the government in court and different ways. And the one thing I observed over the years is you could do virtually anything you want, and the government might come after you, and they might not. But if you messed with the money system, they were going to come after you, and they would jump on you with both feet, and you would be hurt badly. It was the one thing that the government would absolutely defend is the monetary system, and it just led me to understand that this monetary system, heart of darkness, it is the citadel of evil for the world as it operates today. Central banks, fiat currencies, and it's part of the reason why we advocate people get that gold, get the alternative, get the real money, not the promise to pay, take the payment, take the gold. And I know your father felt exactly the same way. I know your father. He also advocated gold stocks, mining stocks, and so on. But he was all about the gold
and silver, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the prospect for silver? Do you have an opinion on that? Information or anybody writing about that right now?
Well, Bob Rainier talks about gold and silver, and how although gold is only primarily used for jewelry in the mainstream, silver is used for hundreds of different areas, whether it be technology or medical. So the demand for silver is even greater, I think, than gold when you look at it, because so many different industries use it on a day-to-day basis, whereas gold, most people are either buying, you know, coins or bars or jewelry. So I think silver
is clearly an industrial metal.
Yes.
I mean, more so than gold. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I also think that the flip side is true, that gold is much more of a monetary metal than silver.
Yes.
So what do you think if you were investing, if you had $100,000 to invest right now, and you had a choice between gold or silver, how would you spend that $100,000? Would you put it all on one or divide it up?
No, I would split it, but primarily I would do gold, and I would probably get smaller coins.
Okay. And you mean fractional pieces of gold, half ounce, tenth of an ounce, quarter ounce?
Yeah, I like things like that.
Mm-hmm,
my dad used to get those for me. Or he'd call me up and say, you need to go buy these coins, like one Melody's having on special. I've got a bunch of those because he loved those.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to have, you know, 1 ounce or smaller coins.
Well, I agree.
I'm not into the big bars and things like that.
No, I don't expect. I'm not in that social strata where you start stacking gold bars. That means you have to have probably at least one tuxedo and maybe several, maybe a chauffeur to drive your limousine. The rest of that, that's not my social strata. I don't expect to see any gold bars in my future, but maybe some coins. Gold coins,
I think I push towards those coins because growing up, my dad always told me how the economy was going to go and how we were going to go into another depression. And I think about trading, and I think about, you know, how am I going to use these gold pieces if I ever need to?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, there was one word that we always used to use, Bob and myself, and it was suitable. And it's always the suitability, and all the coins, each coin has a purpose and a place.
Yes.
And that's education in this industry is so lacking. It's sad. And he was a great educator.
Yeah.
Well, we all get, you know, the education again, mm-hmm. all pretty much got it. There's a bunch of things we all stand to learn all the time. But in general, we have that education in terms of we have a good idea of what's likely to happen. But do you see any consensus from the people who write for the International Forecaster? Do you see any sort of a consensus as to timing? When are we going to see serious problems, if we're going to see them? I mean, real serious problems, more so than we see right now. Do you the writers in the International Forecaster anticipate a moment this year, next year, that's going to be, you know, a stuff hits the fan moment, or is everyone still mystified and wondering?
I don't think any of our writers have really put a date on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of them have alluded to maybe within the next year, 2 years.
I agree. It certainly seems, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, I think, on the program, the problem they're having in Turkey could spiral out of control and potentially cause dominoes to fall that ultimately, a string of dominoes could ultimately reach all the way back to the United States. The whole world is so fragile right now that some peculiar and completely unexpected event something as seemingly insignificant as a street peddler in Tunisia douses himself in gasoline, sets fire to himself in protest against the government of Tunisia, and the next thing you know, we have the Arab Spring, and half a dozen governments are overthrown and another dozen are threatened. The world is that fragile right now, where another event at any given moment could trigger something spectacular, completely unexpected and shocking. So we sit there, you know, on the edge of our seats, wondering if something's going to happen a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now. It's the big mystery. The timing is the big mystery, but there's not much doubt where we're going. Why don't you give folks a little bit of back, give them an idea of what the international forecaster, if they don't already know, give them an idea of what the international forecaster is and how they can subscribe or get a, I'm not sure if you still provide free sample issues or not, but yes. give us a pitch, Jennifer.
Well, the International Forecaster, we have writers that write about finance, economics, world preparedness, gold, silver, every area of the globe. We have writers in Japan, Europe, the U.S., Australia, and we try to get the news out to people that doesn't get put on mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
Let people know what's truly happening out there. Like you said before, you know, one catastrophic thing can happen. The problem is 80% of the time, the majority of Americans don't even know what's happening. I think just by getting news out there to people about what's really going on in the rest of the world would, you know, wake up a lot more Americans, and that 30% of us can maybe grow to 40 instead of taking 10 years. Maybe it'll take 2 years. So we have, you know, writers that write about all these things, and I try to get it all together and send it out, and it goes out via email every Wednesday and every Saturday, and it's about 20 to 30 pages long. And there's probably about 3 or 4 articles that are printed in full that are written for us. And the remainder of the articles I read through and pick out paragraphs here and there of what's relevant in the article, and then I provide the link for it so our readers don't have to read 4 pages of information. They can read 3 or 4 paragraphs and understand what's going on.
A little bit of Reader's Digest effect.
Yes, because there's...
Jennifer, we've got about 15 seconds left, so give them some contact information, an 800 number, wherever they need to call, write, or whatever. Go ahead.
Well, we don't have an 800 number, but we do have our email, which is info@theinternationalforecaster.com, and you can email me directly, and I will email you back. And you can request a free sample, and I will send it out to you.
Can you repeat that again, the email?
info@theinternationalforecaster.com.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And if you can't remember, you can always call Melody and Al.
Yes, that is true. They can always call us.
Thanks for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom and our guest, Jennifer Igulati. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Jennifer, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny.